Broadcasting from stages 2 and 4 in Burbank, California, let's go Inside Salem on NBC's Days of Our Lives podcast.
On today's show, Chriselle Hartley joins the podcast to talk about Jordan's secret baby David and her new series, Selling Sunset. Then, in two can't-miss clips, Brady and Gabby team up to destroy Stefan, and the arrival of baby David creates a stir. Later, Judy Evans, Wally Kurth, and Freddie Smith dish on the Kyriakos family dynamics and play a game. That and more, starting now. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Michael Fairman. Just when you thought Jordan Ridgway didn't have enough bombshells in her arsenal and caused enough trouble in Salem, turns out somewhere along the way she had a baby too. Now she has her ex-lover Rafe go locate the boy and bring him back to Salem. But just who is the bio dad? To tell us all about it and her new reality series on Netflix, Selling Sunset, please welcome Chriselle Hartley.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So much going on with you.
I know. It's been a little crazy.
It's been crazy. But let's talk about Jordan first.
Let's do it.
So when we last left Jordan, we saw her being carted off to Ferncliff. This was following her attempts on Sierra and Ben's lives, kidnapping Charlotte, and then the audience finding out that she had sustained some kind of head trauma in a car accident. Did you know at that time that you would be back again for this arc?
Initially, no. I actually came to tape my last day, which was the confession day, to Rafe. And that's the day that they told me that they were adding to the story. So I remember thinking, well, it would have been helpful to know she has a baby when I was kidnapping a baby. But I don't know if that's just an actor thing, you know, you want. But that's kind of the excitement of soaps. You kind of fly by the seat of your pants and adjust, and storylines quickly change. So I love the genre. So it was one of those things. It was still exciting. I was like, you know, cool. Let's give her a baby. Of course, I'm sure as the audience did as well. I thought at first it was going to be Rafe's.
Me too.
But then I was like, well, that wouldn't be a baby. That would be a child or a toddler. So I didn't know. I didn't know right away. It was initially just supposed to be that first run.
And what did you think about the last shocking turn, though, when you came back and you were doing these horrible things? You were kidnapping people and your brother and Ben and knocking him out and kidnapping Sierra. Like, all of these things. Were you like, what?
So, as everyone can now see, the character of Jordan is totally different from the first time we saw her. And you know, I, as an actor, I needed to know where it was coming from. I mean, is this, like we say in soap speak, you know, the other car accident knocked the crazy loose and that's it? Or is there more to it? And, you know, once we realized the car accident and that, you know, this mental illness obviously runs through their family now, it was one of those things where, you know, you have to, as the actor, justify their actions so that you can play it from a real place. And if you just think she's crazy and you play it crazy, it may not seem as watchable, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know, those mustache twirling type of villains aren't as fun as the ones that I feel like a lot of crazy people don't think they're crazy, right? So anyway, I thought it was insane, all the things that she was doing, but I was just trying to find the a little bit of realism of like why she would do that and what would motivate her to do that. But at the end of the day, it was fun. I mean, if you're going to come back and you're going to be on a soap,
go for it. Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden I get to kidnap babies and inject people with syringes. And so, you know, as serious as I try and like, but then I also just know how to have fun with it. And it was good.
You know, this is a far cry from my mousy physical therapist turned bombshell, Jordan Ridgway. That's how I always love to call her. The mousy, because you wore the glasses.
Right.
And you were hiding out. They made her like dowdy.
She was in disguise, so you couldn't know who she was. I had glasses on.
And then she was taking care of Rafe when rehabbing him.
Yes.
So obviously, Rafe is her go-to guy, which is what brought the baby back into this, right?
Right.
She felt she could trust Rafe?
Yes.
Or does she still have feelings for Rafe?
You know, she definitely feels like she can trust Rafe. And I mean, of course, she has feelings for Rafe, I would believe, because it's one of those things that you out of sight, out of mind. But when you're in the same room with someone and you're looking at them and you're talking to them, I feel like this goes for anybody. We've all done that, I would think, where it's like somebody you literally don't think of. And then you get thrown in a situation where, you know, those past
feelings come out.
So I'm sure that you know, I think we're too far. I can't tell you like how that comes out, but or if that comes out, but I think that it, of course, she still has feelings for him. She definitely trusts him. And in fact, he's the only one she really has.
Yeah. Do you know, without telling me and the audience, do you know who the bio dad of her child is?
I don't.
You do not.
I know that's probably disappointing.
I'm
but
so upset.
They didn't tell me.
So they did not tell you.
If you guys figure it out, let me know.
So write in, post your tweets.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is it?
Let's take a vote.
Whoever wins the vote will be the bio dad.
That's right.
Did you think
maybe it's that actor from that show I really like? This Is Us.
Oh, Justin, your husband? Oh, yeah. He came over to Salem?
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin Pearson came over to Salem?
Yeah. I think Jordan and Kevin, like, had
a
rendezvous.
Wait a minute. Speaking of This Is Us and that amazing season finale that just aired that your husband, Yay. Justin Hartley, was in. In that show, Kevin, we flash forward, has a son.
That's right.
So maybe that
you know?
Starts crossing over
exactly.
into both shows.
NBC. I mean, why not?
So currently you are also being seen on Netflix series Selling Sunset.
Yes.
Now, this is a reality series where you're learning the ropes of real estate at the Oppenheim Group real estate brokerage firm. Now, what has been your take on this experience? And there's a lot of people having opinions about this. And I just saw your interview with TMZ about if the show was legit, like if this was a legit. Because how much did they fudge this reality show? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what your answer to that was and what you think of the whole experience?
Like I was saying, obviously when you're filming a TV show, there are certain things that are going to make for great television and there are certain things that aren't. And so they didn't follow us around while we're sitting at the MLS scouring it for hours looking for listings. They didn't hang out while we're, you know, sitting there like...
The drudgery work part.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's so much stuff that people are like, oh, I want to do real estate. I'm like, well, trust me, only the highlights made the show. And then... As far as, you know, the drama goes, yes, sometimes it is like, you know, you're kind of put in a situation where they want you to discuss something where in your real life, if you're professionals, you try and like keep your mouth shut, keep your nose forward and get your work done. So I feel like, you know, there's that element involved where you are talking about things more than you would talk about. But as far as the interactions and the cells and that kind of stuff, all of that is real. They try to make sure to keep it as real as possible and to really work around what was already happening because they do so much business. And I could say we now because I really do feel like I've slowly earned my place there. But we've done so much business constantly day to day in that office. So why not use the business that we're using? So that's the first thing people think isn't real. And that actually can be fact checked. So Netflix knew that. So all of that is real. So it's just, it's just the little elements of when when you're doing a show where you might talk about something in a situation where normally you would just keep your mouth shut or, you know, if there's certain kind of things that you're doing that's not fun and exciting, there's probably a lot of stuff we shot didn't make it.
Okay, but these girls were bitches to you. I mean, literally, they amped up. Either they are that or they amped it up. But I wanted to slap them because they were pretty bad towards you. What can you say?
I try and...
I called that out on Twitter. I said, I don't know.
I wish I could say... Unfortunately, not... You know, that's... I feel like everyone was kind of represented as who they are. And I feel like even though, like I said, some things can be amplified as far as situations go, you can't turn someone into something that they're not. So as PC as I can be, I will say I do feel like everyone's true character came out. And that's what I deal with when the cameras aren't there. That's what I feel like that's our interactions that we have. And unfortunately, it does make for tense situations when we aren't filming anything. So... I hate that, but actually that was real.
So now that you've seen that the show is premiered and it's kind of had a life of its own, what's your takeaway from it? Are you glad you did it? Or are you like, oh my God, I can't believe it. What is...
You know, I think overall, I'm super proud of it. I'm so happy I said yes to it because obviously it was a scary thing to say yes to, having only done scripted before and you're not in control of what's going to be put out there. But I felt like with Adam DeVello, he's our creator and he did Laguna Beach and The Hills, and he really assured me at every step of the way that I would be in safe hands. And you know, because it's an intense group to join. And I really was out of my element. But I feel like I'm so proud of it. Of course, when you watch it back, there's certain moments that you wish could have gone differently. Or, you know, it's hard if somebody was just had a camera on you in these like tense, heightened moments. You know, when you watch it back, I think it would be weird if anyone that was involved in the show would say there's nothing I would change. Of course, I would change several things, but overall, I feel like you get a sense of who I am, and I do try to do my best in those situations. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't always work, but I feel like that's the where I'm coming from, and then you can see where other people are coming from and how they handle things. So
we just watched the season finale of This Is Us, and I wanted to get your reaction to it, like in one or two words, like what did you think of the episode, because I know you watch it all the time.
I thought I was kind of happy. I was so, you know, I was so relieved I didn't break up Beth and Randall.
Me too.
That I think it was just like, that was like truly going to be like a real contentious thing.
It wasn't an ugly cry, I agree. It was, yeah.
So
it was
I thought it was like a sweet thing. And it was touching and sweet and lovely. I don't think it was like one of those, no.
Did you and Justin watch it together?
No, because he's filming a movie in Canada, unfortunately. So I had to watch it alone.
All right, well, we're ready for some campness clips. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Here's your campness clip for the week of April 1st. Unhappy that Chloe is living with Stefan, Brady turns to Gabby for help. He sets the stage for his plan, pointing out how Stefan has lost everything and desperately wants a family. When Gabby questions how she can come between Stefan and Chloe, Brady instructs her to seduce him. Take a listen.
You want me to seduce Stefan?
Boy, you don't think you could pull it off?
I disgust me. Okay, I can't even be close to him.
Hear me out.
Brady, it's a no.
You've already told me that you're not interested in feeding any more inside information on the guy to me,
he's
right?
He's suspicious of me already.
I understand that. What if you controlled the mirror? And then you wouldn't have to worry about it. You would also have complete control over Gabby Sheen.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. How did this go from I'm seducing Stefan to now I'm controlling Demera?
It's very simple. Step one, you seduce him. Step two, you marry him. Step three, you take him for everything he's got. You take his business, you take his money, you take his heart. And once you have all those things in your hands, we burn his ass to the ground.
Okay, have you ever had to seduce a character on daytime television?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and the art of seduction, like what does one have to do in these seduction scenes?
Oh, you know, you use everything you can. It's, you know, it depends. Are you just using your body, your sexual prowess? Are you using your eyes, your mouth, the way you speak? Are you using alcohol? Are they tempted by it? I've done that.
No.
Are they, you know, with the recovering alcoholic, the sexy girl with the martini, very inviting.
How is it to play that for an actress? So to play a seduction, is it uncomfortable or fun?
Well, I think it's all about your scene partner because it can. I think it's really fun as long as you have
a fun partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ready for your clip?
I'm ready. Here's your can't miss clip for the week of April 8th. Rafe returns to Salem with Jordan's baby, David. Lonnie bonds with him immediately upon learning his name and that he would be the same age as David, her late son. Meanwhile, Rafe misses his anniversary dinner to visit Jordan and ask who David's father is. When she refuses, Rafe suggests Ben serve as the baby's guardian. Jordan immediately objects. At the Brady pub, Lonnie introduces baby David to Abe, who shows valid concern. Here's what happened next.
It's good of you to help Jordan take care of her son. But I'm afraid that this David could bring up feelings of your own.
Dad, I appreciate you worrying about me, but I don't need another baby named David to bring up feelings about my own son. He's right there with me every day, no matter what. I love my little boy, Dad. I always will. But right now, this little sweet angel, he needs all the love that he can get, don't you?
Listen to me, Rafe. I do not want Ben anywhere near my child. You have to understand. Clyde, he turned his son into a monster. And I don't even want to give him the slightest chance to influence my little baby boy.
I get that. I do. Problem is, we're running out of options here. You said yourself that you don't want your son to be part of the system.
No, I don't.
But that's exactly what's going to happen if we don't find a suitable temporary guardian. Now, if you don't want David's father to look out for him, is there anyone else that you trust?
What about you?
Well, I see trouble ahead here. I just see trouble. First of all, Lonnie and the baby connecting. That's and then Rafe.
Yeah. I have to say, I've seen the outcry of wanting Rafe to be a father. And so I think it'll be cool for the viewers to see him take care of this child and you just kind of bring out a different element to his character. I think there's some good stuff coming up for, you know, a lot of times when they bring characters in that aren't on contract, our job is to help the guys that are here every day,
shake up the canvas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's what I feel like my character is doing. And as you can see, it's giving the contract players a lot to work with. So I feel like my job is done here.
Well, I basically think it's cost over Hope and Rafe and Lonnie and Eli. And there's just so many tentacles
right.
to this.
Exactly.
Chriselle, thank you so much. It's always great to catch up with you.
Of course. Anytime.
So watch Chriselle on Days of Our Lives, streaming on NBC.com and the NBC app.
Part 2 of Inside Salem Days of Our Lives podcast will return in a moment. Subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcasts. We now return to Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast, to take a look behind the scenes.
For decades, Wally Kurth and Judy Evans have played the enduring on-again, off-again couple of Justin and Adrian Kyriakos. And back in 2011, they received a new grown-up addition to the family when the show cast Freddie Smith as their son, Jackson Stephen Kyriakos, better known to all of us as Sonny. Through the breakups and the challenges of both Justin and Adrian's love story and Sonny and Will's love story, this family, for the most part, has stayed together, caring about each other unconditionally. Now for a little behind-the-scenes chat with these Salem favorites, welcome Judy, Wally, and Freddie. How are you?
Good.
Awesome.
Nice to be here.
So let's just talk about the latest on-air developments of what people are seeing right now happen, which is basically there's the Haley and Tripp wedding and Jack and Eve's wedding. And are you two like ordained minister? Like what happened, Judy and Wally? How did you end up?
Well, I am a lawyer, but I also have one of those, you know.
You're a priest and a lawyer.
Side gigs.
I tried to marry Sonny and Will before, or Sonny and Paul before. So I have been an officiant before.
Yeah, I think you're definitely an officiant.
I'm one of the go-to officiants in town, yeah.
last-minute officiant.
Yeah. I guess you get one of those.
Do you have to do anything to do that?
In real life, I've done that before where I was a real efficient. Yeah, and you get the universal life,
online,
certificate.
Right.
You can do it online. As long as you're not a felon, you can become an officiant. And I think it must be the same thing in Salem too,
All right.
Adrian
isn't an officiant. She just poses at it because she wants to marry Jack and Eve, but they won't really be married, so she's trying to pull one over on them.
Oh, that's the ploy.
So
yeah.
She's
the plot twist.
She's team J&J.
Heck yeah.
Do you remember just for the fans in the past, you had the big Greek wedding, one of the classic weddings of all time.
Yeah, back in the day when there was big budgets and we went down to St. Sophia Church down in downtown on Pico, and it was incredible.
It was
a beautiful wedding, like hundreds
Wait,
of
down
extras.
Wait, down Pico, you mean in California?
California.
Well, the exteriors were all in Greece.
Were in Greece, yeah, that's right. But still, going down to a real church with hundreds, and I believe they actually sent it out to like fans of Days of Our Lives, come to this, come to the church
and fed everybody. It was a big deal.
I just remember I had like a 2-page monologue, vows, and it was like, oh my gosh. It
was like, and I was in that super like, heavy
it was like a real, it was like a real production.
The pressure was on.
The pressure was on because there was a, you know, an entire church full of people, congregants.
All I remember, it was really hot. The dress was gorgeous, but it was very heavy. And I sat on a stool because you can't sit with a wedding dress with one of those little handheld fans under my skirts all day.
I didn't know that.
It was very sweaty.
Did you ever watch the on-screen wedding on YouTube of Justin and Adrian's Greek wedding, Freddie?
I haven't, but I need to see this.
It's a pretty big production.
It's a funny story. Because the man who played, the actor slash Greek Orthodox priest, who played the Greek Orthodox priest in the episode, did the exact ceremony that a priest would do in the Greek church. And his bishop got in a lot of trouble. Because he basically said, you have officially married them in the eyes of the Greek church.
Ecclesiastically, I found out just a few years ago.
You're married.
Ecclesiastically, we are. Ecclesiastically, we are married.
Yeah, they did the whole thing.
Bombshell.
Well, they wouldn't use your real names, though. So,
Technically.
But Justin and Adrian, ecclesiastically, are really married. I worked with the Greek Orthodox Church through my other, job, for a long time, and I found out it was at a board meeting, and they're like, "Oh, you're an actress, huh? Yeah. Oh my God, we had this priest once. He got in so much trouble." I mean, on and on and on. This is like 30 years later, and I'm like, "Yeah, that would be hi,
oh, wow.
Hello."
That's so
So yeah, he did get in a lot of trouble, and they're still talking about it today. Oh, we're infamous, baby.
Yeah, I like being infamous.
Oh my God,
better than being famous.
Freddie, on what's going on now with Will and Sonny is Will got the evil eye from Leo before he departed town, and he's not been feeling well, and he landed in the hospital, and Sonny's very worried, and then I believe they're going to get some news.
We are going to get some news, and it's not very good news.
Not good news.
No.
Will Wilson ever have their...
That I mean, you think after all of this, happiness has to be over the horizon, and we're climbing, and we're climbing, and we keep having hiccups. But
you keep stumbling up.
We keep stumbling up the hill, and but yeah, it's not very good news. But it's one of these. Depending on how much I can say about it, it's one of these moments in life that will strengthen the relationship if you're able to overcome such a tragedy. Without giving too much away, I mean, it is not good news. And they need to really think about their future what they have left of it.
Do you guys realize that you're both in super couples on soaps, but they throw everything at you guys to keep you apart? Isn't that part of the whole thing?
Star-crossed lovers. Romeo and Juliet.
So when you get these scripts, you're like, now you're going to do this, or are you glad?
I think it's both. I mean, it's if you're finally together, you know deep.
We're on set right now, people, in the middle of production, PA.
But yeah, I think it's both, because deep down, you know that the audience is going to be excited for the couple to get together. You're excited that the love can finally come together. But there's also something, you know, when you keep stumbling or you're apart or something comes between you, it's going to create conflict, which allows us as actors to really flex our acting muscle and have those challenges to overcome. And it's interesting. So when they're broken up and there's, you know, problems, it's not good for the character, but it's fun for the actor.
Yeah.
Ditto.
You want to be happy in real life, but you'd really kind of want to be miserable on TV.
Once you're happily ever after, got to have the conflict and something pulling you apart so you can get back together. Otherwise, you know, we might as well change the channel.
I think I know the answer to this question because I've talked to Judy and Wally about this before, but when they brought on your son, your grown-up son, and he was going to be a gay character, you had a great reaction to it. What was your reaction that you can share with the audience?
We totally high-fived.
We were like, oh my God, we have a gay son, yay!
Were you in the same studio at the time?
Like, yes, we were together.
At the same time.
They pulled us aside together.
That's fantastic.
Oh, we were like, woo!
Not the typical reaction, probably. Oh my God. We just loved it because it was different and it was new and it was like, yeah, you're giving something to.
And they were going to write it as supportive parents. And that was even more.
Yeah. Yay! Yeah. He had already been out of the closet and he was not, that was not his story. We were
so cool.
We'd already gone through it. We were completely loving and accepting, and we just thought that was a nice twist too. And we were thrilled.
Did you screen test with Fred? None of you did that. You did.
I did not.
Me and Judy screen tested.
Okay, so Judy, what do you remember about him in the screen test and why he stood out?
Stole my heart. He was so perfect and wonderful, and it was just like magic. It was, you know, without being romantic, it was magical. And he was amazing and just blew.
Well, thank you.
Blew.
You were amazing. It was easy just to look at you and just to see the emotion and react to it. So you helped me book the role of a lifetime. So thank you.
So you remember it clearly that he was the one.
The one. Hands down. And
that's a cool feeling.
There were great actors there. He was the one, and he blew everybody. I mean, it wasn't even a question.
Did they ask for your vote?
That's my opinion. Yeah. Well, I'm like,
Freddie,
is there any other choice?
Thank you.
Okay, we have a game for you guys. We have put the names of some of the actors you've worked with at Days over the time you've been here in this dish. You will each take turns picking one of the names. Then you will read the name and tell us either a side story about them, a little anecdote if you have a relationship with them off set, or what it's like working with them. We call this Dish, Dirt, or Delight. So, Freddie,
little variation on the other one.
The first one?
Dish, Dirt, or delight. Okay.
All right.
Are you kidding?
If this was on camera, you would know. But this was not set up. I actually dug around this bowl and I picked Greg Rickert. I can't say enough. I miss him already. He is such an awesome person, and we became friends instantly. He's one of those people that after like a day of working together, you feel like you've known him for like years, and he's so damn talented. We had so much fun, and it was just so difficult not to laugh at him as an actor because Sonny hated him and Freddie loved him. So I was torn every day. I was like, oh my God. So there was one scene I was finally able to give it back to him, and I had so much fun with it because I was trying to make him laugh because I had to hold back my laugh for months working with him.
He was phenomenal. The zingers and the lines and the delivery were just so on point.
He had the greatest one-liners. And you even told me, like I just – Wally was like – it took everything just to keep a straight face so I wouldn't just crack up because he was just so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the wedding of – Leo and Sonny was such a train wreck, and Sheila was officiating, and you guys were there with those looks on your faces about, what do you remember?
Yeah, just like, I knew that it was just, I just tried to capture just that, it was all about reactions, wasn't it? I didn't have any lines, but I wanted to be able to bring humor to it, and it was, I did see it, the episodes, and I thought, I think we kind of pulled it off, sitting on the couch just watching our son basically being run over.
Yeah.
I know, just
watching him like a train wreck in front of us, and we had to do it, but we were all part of the, we were complicit in one way, but no, it was just so funny, and he was just dressed in that ridiculous suit.
It was fabulous.
And the hair.
And like Freddie said, it's like, don't laugh, gotta hate him, don't laugh, oh God, this is so good. He's amazing.
So good. All right, here we go. Judy, your turn. Dish, Dirt, or Delight?
Oh, this is my favorite.
Judy, who did you pick?
I got John Aniston.
Oh.
He is the dearest, most lovely man. He has a new joke. What have we been working together? 30 years? A different joke every day. Some of them are very blue, but a different joke. And his delivery is amazing. I couldn't think of a more wonderful, besides these two, a more wonderful person to work with who is an incredible actor. And even in character, scares the poop out of me.
But you've had great scenes with John too.
Yes, we have a very distinguished relationship of like, I really give it to him. I feel more than a lot of other people, like very much like Uncle Vic. Like, this is what's up. This is what we're doing, Uncle Vic.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on, Uncle Vic. You know, like, he's very bossy with his uncle. And then he just kind of sits there and goes, what do you mean? Get out of my sight before you ruin this family. And so, yeah, no, he's great. He's a wonderful person. He was, Wally and Judy, John Aniston, were three of, and then I think Nadia was another, like there was like four of you in my first like five or six scenes, Kate Mancy. But I just remember having like, you were all part of my coming to the show, and entrance. I was so young and just like ambitious, these big eyes, and I was just ready to act. And so they really helped me maneuver this machine. And even back then, it was a little slower.
Oh, much.
I feel like there was more time. I give hats off to the newbies who've never done soaps who come into our world now.
Agreed.
Because, oh my God.
Agreed.
Wally, what was your experience with Mr. Aniston?
Oh, yeah. Just like Judy. John is just a wonderful man. And, you know, he just tells, and I love just talking about stories in New York, because he was in Search for Tomorrow and he was on Love of Life. And he was like, I mean, got into the, you know, soap operas that have, you know, back in the 60s, and he had a club in town, and he'd have, you know, singers come in, and he was just this New York actor. And, you know, I'd been to New York, and I just loved hearing those stories. And yeah, he's the jokes, and he's just a classic guy, and we love doing crossword puzzles together. And yeah, he's just a great man. And what a honor and a privilege it's been to work with, you know, John. A legend like John.
All right, Wally. Ditch Turner Delight.
Oh, Stephen Nichols. Well, Stephen and I sort of started at the same time. And he was like, you know, the guy wearing a black patch. And yeah, I mean, he and I kind of started, he was on just like a year before me, and we had a lot of storyline together in the late 80s. So we kind of started our daytime careers together. And I love Steven and I miss him. He's not on the show right now. And he was actually, in my opinion, he was one of those actors that I looked towards to help, you know, just, I thought he was really good, and he was older than me, and he just seemed more experienced than me. And just watching him taught me a lot as an actor, and how to just stay present and commit. And and we used to go out and do some shows together, and I'd bring my guitar, and I'd had to learn like the 16 bar blues, and he'd play his harmonica, and I always screwed it up, and he never seemed to mind, because I'm not sure he knew what he was doing either.
To your face. I'm kidding.
But you had such great scenes. He was your brother. Mm-hmm. Patch is Adrian's brother, and I remember loving back in the day when they would write the scenes mm-hmm. between the brother and the sister, because he protected Adrian. He loved Adrian. Do you remember
well,
those?
At first he did not
like
her.
That's right.
At all. Thought she was a phony. And but yeah, you know, they really really fleshed that brother-sister relationship out. And it was really, really well written.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I mean, when I first got on the show, and here was this character of Adrian who had just been, well, sexually assaulted by her father, and it was very uber dramatic, and I was just like, wow, I have no idea soap operas handled such, you know, violent
topics.
And that was sort of the wonderful story that they put us in, that I was sort of allowed her, and I encouraged her to embrace her womanhood again, and her, you know, her body, and just, you know, being able to be open with another human being, let alone a man. And we were so tender to each, with you. I was tender to you, and you were tender to me, and we were just like slowly walking into this relationship. And you know, we got married very quickly, which was very unusual at the time. Usually they carry out these romances forever, and then after 4 or 5 years of, you know, Sturm und Drang, they finally get married.
That was big stuff.
We got married about 7 months into the show.
Well, I've got to let you guys go back to set. I know this is a busy day, which we can't reveal why to anybody.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Freddie, Judy, Wally. It was so great catching up.
Yeah. Thanks
for
having us.
So nice great to see you.
So fun. All right. Watch for more drama with these three in Days of Our Lives.
Coming up on Days of Our Lives, 2 weddings, 1 week. Jack accuses Adrian of trying to sabotage his wedding to Eve.
I'm not sure that we can trust her.
Well, of course.
Jack, I'm your sister.
And Claire crashes Haley and Tripp's wedding.
I hate that it had to come to this, but I really don't have a choice.
Gabby steps up her efforts to seduce Stefan.
I just think maybe the two of us could use some hot, no-string sex.
Brady finds Chloe in a dangerous predicament.
Brady, be careful!
Chloe, get out of here!
Days of Our Lives. Stream anytime on NBC.com and the NBC app.
This has been Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast. Subscribe on all major podcasting platforms. Follow the show at NBC Days. Theme music by Tom Boyce and Bobby Hart. Produced by Grant Rutter and Michael Fairman. Edited by Trey Booty. This is Melissa Reeves. Join us again for another episode of Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast.